What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on? We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
The Men's Room presents Profile This.
And Stephen Thrill-Hill, could you please start one? Now, Profile This is played.
Oh, I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story. Something that happened right here on planet Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola. All right, Dave, you understand how this year's game is played?
Yes, I do.
Fantastic. You have your choice of one of three stories today. We offer you interior decorating, where you guess the foreign object that ended up on the inside of someone. Animalize This, where you guess the animal responsible for causing the problem. And finally today, License to Spill, where you guess the substance that made the mess.
Well, let's go with Animalize This.
A zoo in Switzerland said winter storms led two of their animals to escape their enclosure. One of the animals wandered all the way into the nearby woodlands. The Walter Zoo in Gossau said heavy snowfall caused branches to break in the enclosure, giving a path for the animals to climb to freedom. Now, one of them traveled only a few yards away and was found munching on branches with the zoo's vicunus, which apparently is the South American relative of a camel. But the other was more adventurous. They say her tracks led outside the zoo and into the forest. Zookeepers, aided by a helpful pedestrian and a tracking canine, located the animal, taking a leisurely stroll in the forest. After a short sprint, our animal keepers were able to catch her safely with the net to bring her back to the zoo. Now, the animals were checked over by a veterinarian and determined to be uninjured. They were returned to their enclosure once their escape path was cleared. The question is, what were the animals that escaped? Was it two red pandas? Was it two emus? Was it two macaque monkeys or two Arctic foxes? So pandas, emus, monkeys, or foxes, what got out of their enclosure, one of them wandering into the nearby woods?
Well, I don't think foxes are vegetarian, so I'm going to rule those out.
You said they lured them back in with what?
Basically, they just tracked the thing down, and it was easy enough for people. They got to lure it back, throw a net over it, took their ass back to the enclosure.
Dave, I'm going two red pandas, Dave.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to. I can't think of an emu crawling over a tree and out of a enclosure.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the red pandas.
All right. I guess I'll go with monkeys.
Monkeys.
Oh, crazy SOBs.
What escaped the zoo in Switzerland? Was it two red pandas, two emus, two monkeys, or two foxes? We will find out next. You are listening to The Men's Room.
99.9 KISW. We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Category is Animalize This on Profile This. We got a zoo in Switzerland that had some storms there, and two animals were able to escape their enclosures based on falling down trees that they were able to kind of just get out on. One was caught and returned. The other was returned a little bit later, but both successfully. Question is, what were the two animals? Red pandas, emus, foxes, or monkeys?
And Dave, that is the very question that we posed to you, and I'll start with you. You agree with Miles Montgomery and what red pandas doesn't seem like an obvious answer. Now, he said emus aren't going to
climb. Oh, he said they're eating leaves or whatever.
Yeah. And you're correct.
Okay. Wow. Very good.
It was, in fact, I didn't want to hurt your feelings, Dad. You know, normally I'd start with you and tell you you're wrong, but I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, well, thank you. Usually you like to rub it in, just be like, you're wrong, dude. Yeah.
Those are the ones
I wasn't
going
to do that today. I mean, you weren't right, but I don't want to start.
Those are the ones that stand up and go like this, too, if you ever seen those.
But the red pandas?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they always stand up and put their two paws up. You, like, startle them or whatever. Yeah, they're just like,
they look like they're bandits.
How do you guys know this?
Google. Seriously.
That's, like, their big thing?
That is their thing.
All right.
And then Red Panda herself is a famous performer at halftime of NBA games.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Red Panda.
Now, for all TV,
Red Panda standing up?
Maybe I have, man. It's just not what comes to mind. Are they as aloof and as stupid as regular pandas? And let me be clear. I think pandas are cute like everyone. I just cannot believe they're not extinct. You're not kidding. Every freaking panda.
At least the red pandas.
Picture.
Exactly.
Except that one. He looks like
at least red pandas are real.
Yeah, you're right. Pandas are fake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're just killer whales in disguise.
Now for all TV news all the time, it is time for TV Time with 10.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, the Men's Room presents TV Time with 10.
Correct. All right, let's see. First of all, we did Friday night. We found out we had the second of the national semifinal college football playoff game. So now you know you have Notre Dame and Ohio State playing.
Yes.
In the national title game. I mean, I don't know if you could be more classic college football than probably that, right?
Is that Friday
you
night?
Can't.
That will be on Monday the 20th.
So a week from today.
A week from today.
Okay.
You could watch that one. Yeah, and that was a good game. Like, Texas held their own.
They did.
I really thought they were going to go in there and score. I wonder about some of the play calling at, you know, second and one back down there. But that kind of what happened. It's also wild that people need to understand, like, the NFL is a lot more, to me, less volatile than college football.
For sure.
It's like you have Ryan Day, who about, what, the day after Thanksgiving, they lose to Michigan at home. Team falls apart. There's a fight on the field. They're like, they might fire him. Now he might win a national title, and they'll give him a goddamn 10-year contract.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
That's how it works, man.
Right. Michigan people will still be like, we beat them, though.
They will.
Yeah. Well, that's why I tweeted out Friday night. I said, when Northern Illinois versus Michigan, the real national title. Because remember, Notre Dame this year lost at home to Northern Illinois.
Yep. What was their second game of the season?
Yeah, something. It was just like, it's just wild. But either way, pretty good to see. And I think, obviously, the last game last night was good. But also, I kind of wanted to say this because, you know, we had that opening round of the 12-game playoff. People were like, they're all blowouts, this and that. And like I was saying, well, look at wild card weekend. Generally, right, like there's team, you know what I mean? Like, so the Seahawks have been like, we had 10 wins, we should be in. Like Alabama fans do. It's like, look, the first weekend of any playoff system.
Pretty bad.
Pretty bad, especially football. Baseball's a little different.
Sure.
But usually the top...
Baseball, you get more than one game. And in football, correct, the playoff, teams, generally speaking, show up. Like, you get one shot, and typically the better teams put the ass whipping in wild card weekend on the lesser teams.
Right. And, like, look, if you did it like college with all the bitching and moaning, let's be honest, the Steelers wouldn't be in the playoffs.
They would not have been.
Because they lost four games in a row. You'd be like, they're not playing.
Style points.
Right.
You'd have booted them out.
You'd put somebody else in there and blah, mm-hmm, blah, blah. So I just, for everybody that thought, like, the college football system's so flawed, it's like, this is kind of what happens, too. You right. know what I mean? But I think in as an NFL fan, you kind of romanticize the playoffs so much because you remember all the big ones. But, like, there have been a lot of crappy playoff games and
you
blowouts.
Remember last night's game. The other ones were bad.
So speaking of that, so you had the Commanders playing last night. They're down in Tampa Bay. They haven't won a playoff game on the road forever since 05 in Tampa Bay. 3 seconds left. They line up for a field goal.
The last time Washington won a wild card game, won a playoff game, was 2005 here. Chance to do it with Gonzalez. From 37 to send Washington to the final eight. Washington Commanders off the upright, and it is in! They fight their way to the divisional round! Unbelievable!
I have seen it all now. I even get a divisional doink. I feel like every time
Jack's hitting an upright. Oh, my gosh.
Now, credit where credit's due. Our very own Mike Hawk, me and him and a couple of our buddies are like on a football thread, right?
Yeah.
So the morning starts out, the first one in there, it's like, Mike's like, we just had a playoff doink. So it's kind
that was
of
a Denver game.
Yeah.
It sounded like a bomb going off.
Yeah. So it's kind of was like a joke all day. I said, now we got extra mixed field goals. And then as soon as that thing went in, I mean, we couldn't get off the text quick enough to be like, Mike, it's doink day. You're absolutely right. But yeah, it's good to see playoff football again. I'm just one of those people. It was a nice, you know, you had two college games Thursday, Friday, had some games on Saturday, had three games yesterday, have a game today. I'm just sad. You know? It's like, you know it's coming to an end, man. You know, then you got to go back to watching TV and regular shows and stuff on Sundays.
Being productive.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have an out. My wife says, hey, we need to do this. Because, like, all year, I'm like, hey, Ravens are on. I'm not doing anything until it's over. And she understands this. In fact, she had a joint birthday party. Their birthdays are one day apart. And my wife's is tomorrow. Her friend's was yesterday. So they did a joint party Saturday at the watering hole, right?
All right.
And it starts at 7. And I said, you can do what you want. Until the Ravens game is over, I'm not leaving. Even though they kick Pittsburgh's ass, I'm like, right, until those three zeros, and then I need to watch the highlights to relive this great moment. So we got there about 8:30.
That was, I was having a couple beverages with a friend of mine, and me and her were sitting at this bar, and they had on the first game.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second game, and I said to the bartender, I said, just so you know, the game, we don't have Prime.
Oh.
And then I'd say over the course of the next hour, I heard that conversation plenty of times.
We don't have Prime. We don't have Prime.
I mean, people are just strolling in or just like, you're going to put the game on?
Yeah.
And they're just like, we don't have Prime. Like, oh.
They should almost put that on a sign. Just so the bartender doesn't have to repeat it 400 times.
I would have left.
Yeah. I mean, I would have.
Dead serious. Just what's plan B? Yeah. Well, or you could do like what I do sometimes if you're somewhere and I offer to do it. I was like, I'll just pull it up on my Xfinity app, which is great. I love using that thing.
But then stream it.
And then, right, if your TV's new and smart enough, just put on your Bluetooth, man. I'll put it on for us.
My TV's smarter than I am. Trust me. I'm always like, I always call my son in the room, like, dude, this is what I want to do. Do this for me. It's just like, Jesus, you're old. I'm like, I am. Do this for me.
That's why I have you.
That's exactly it. I had to have children when they made smart TVs.
Does your kid play Madden?
Only all the time, yes.
Okay. All right. So the Super Bowl's coming around the corner. There's also the Madden Bowl. This year, they have performers. Chris Stapleton, Jelly Roll, Shaboozy.
Wait, so like if he's playing Madden, these guys
are the best guys. The Madden Bowl is all the best players around the world, and it's a $1 million prize pool. It's at a theater in New Orleans the same weekend as the Super Bowl.
For whatever reason, I've never heard of this before.
Really?
I know what Madden is. I just did not know they had $1 million. I know the Puppy Bowl. I know the Bud Bowl. I know all these things they used to do. I mean, I must be out of touch. Well,
Madden has tournaments all year long.
Correct. But so I think because they're on YouTube or whatever, I just don't see them. They're not top of mind.
Well, in your defense, most of them are never going to be on broadcast TV except the Madden Bowl. And then ESPN usually will have, like, in the next couple of weeks, you'll see... You know, like those random times. So basically, like on the weekends now, you don't have other stuff going. You'll see like a couple half-hour shows where it's like, all right, these players versus these players. So, I mean, they've been doing it for a while. But, yeah, Super Bowl weekend, they have it in the same place in New Orleans at this theater.
The lineup, though.
It's unreal. They were saying, that's Friday, February 7th, bringing together fans, music, athletes, esports, and Madden in an unforgettable celebration of football.
My kid is all about. He's learned a lot about football, the players anyway, both former and current, just by playing Madden. It's unbelievable. He was stunned. What, about 2 years ago when Madden died? I said, Dad, did you know that John Madden was a person? I said, yes, I knew that. He had no idea. I said, right. He lent his name to this game, and his legacy will go on basically as long as you're alive because of that. But I'm like, he was a player, then he was a coach, then he was a broadcaster. Yes, he's been around for a hot minute, bro.
Dude, there's some of these nerds on the internet that I don't think like ever played the sport, but they've played so much Madden.
Oh, yeah.
When they break down game, like they could break down game film the same thing. And I mean, yeah, like, they know more terms than like, most people I know that played football. And I'm just like, Oh, my God. They've just taught themselves the game inside and out by looking. You know, that's what you do. Yeah. You're picking routes. You're picking defenses.
My son does it now. We'll watch a game. We'll watch an actual game. As soon as the offense lines up, he'll call the play. It's like, dude, yeah. I run this all the time. I can't believe the defense can't defend this because this guy, and he's right. It's like Tony Romo calling the game.
Also, he was the guy that really kind of launched the turducken. I mean, he didn't invent it. But he was the guy that went off for 5 minutes on exactly what this is and cut into it and layered it down. And
yeah.
Next thing you knew, like, you know, people were trying to do that.
Yeah. I mean, Madden's influence on football, besides coaching and winning Super Bowls, is unreal massive. Between the game and just commentary. And then also, I'm of the age where, like, we had Tecmo Bowl, Super Tecmo Bowl, and then there was like a couple years off. And then when Madden came out, like it's hard to, like your son would never know this, but like we knew John Madden as the coach and everything, yeah. and the TV guy. But to hear his voice on a game was just
absolutely
mind blowing. You know what I mean? It was unbelievable.
My son, by the way, now explained to me in the current iteration of Madden, I guess two of the 32 head coaches, and I do not know, did not sign off that were likeness use, right? He pointed this out. This was yesterday. He explains it to me. And because of his uncle, he now wants to lobby Madden to do the likenesses of the actual officials.
Yeah!
I was like, you know what, man?
One, that's they won't not bad.
They're not going to pay him for it. But yeah, it'd be kind of cool if you could see his uncle Adrian pop up.
Well, not all the crews are the best. That's a problem. You got a game up against somebody. Like maybe you're in a $1 billion tournament down in New Orleans and you get the worst crew in the NFL.
Right, you get that.
Oh, no! Surely they would have to grade them the same way as they do the players.
They do. They get graded, man.
Madden's tough, though, too. Like, right, I stopped really playing video games before we got into this era of, like, the headsets so you could talk to everybody.
Yeah.
Like when I left, you still had to have, like, four people over at the house to the same system. But I watched this video the other day, and this guy's just getting dismantled by, like, a 12-year-old boy who is just calling him a bitch and this and that. And, just, and, like, basically he could do nothing about it. The kid's, like, calling out his plays. I'm just like, oh, my God.
Dude, it's brutal. I'll watch him because he has a buddy. They'll be in two different places, but they have their team, and they're playing two other guys located somewhere on this planet, right? And, I mean, there's a lot of trash talk. And you would think they're actually coaching, like, real people. Because they call their plays, man, and when they don't execute it, it's the same as you see a coach on the sideline screaming at the players. It's the exact same thing. But in the end, it's just competition, right? That's all it is. So
yeah, and when all those people, you know, kids, you know, adults, when everybody's learning all that stuff, you'll be just as big as nerds as we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think I scared somebody the other day. I jumped off the couch. I was like, oh, they pulled the tackle. They're like, that play didn't do anything. I'm like, it didn't. When's the last time you seen the left tackle pull and run down the line? Get excited here, folks.
Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
What is this?
All right. Let's see. Timothy Chalamet, ball knower. Everybody knows him. On January 25th, he's going to host SNL. He'll also be the musical guest.
Okay.
Which some people are no word what he's singing, but I don't think he has a record. So you assume he's singing Dylan songs because he's
That's
playing
my
Bob
assumption.
Dylan right now?
Yeah.
He can do Tom Petty.
If you can do Dylan, you can do Tom Petty.
Dylan.
Only 41 people in the show's 50-year history have ever hosted and been their own musical guest. Until now, though, only a handful weren't primarily singers. So generally, like, Ariana Grande does it, you go, okay, but she's a singer.
Right.
So this one's a little different. But some of the stars who are not singers primarily, Lily Tomlin did it twice, 75 and 83. Desi Arnaz in 1976. And then in 1979, think of an actor. He's crazy. He's been in a lot of films.
Nick Nolte.
You're close.
Gary Busey.
Gary Busey. Oh,
he God. Sang?
In 1979.
Shoo-wee.
Hang on. I got
to say that. Teeth fell out when he was singing. Like, the whole thing comes out of him.
I mean, I think it's easier for an actual singer to do an SNL skit because you're not doing Oscar-worthy performances, right? But you take an actor who doesn't necessarily sing and say, oh, no, you're the musical.
Be like Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga getting out there and doing their Star Is Born stuff.
But he's with Lady Gaga.
But he is with Lady Gaga. Right, he's still an actor first and a musician after the fact.
Yes.
But I'm with Thrill, right? It's not shocking to see some of these singers that actually are pretty funny when they're hosting.
Sure.
Or just taking parts in the skits, but I'm just like, and unless he's planning to put out a thing, but it's like, I assume he's got to sing some Dylan. The week before that, on the 18th, you'll have Chappelle hosting with Glorilla as your musical
guest.
He's
not going to be the musical guest.
Chappelle?
Yeah, he's going to do some Rick James for us.
That'd be a little bit of a strange one. Let's see. Obviously, with TV and movies, a lot of it has to do with these L.A. wildfires that are just horrible. Two famous homes have already been destroyed. Let's see. If you watch Succession, that house from season 4 is gone. And then the estate used as Gene Smart's side mansion on Hacks has burned down as well. Generally, these things, if they're in L.A., are used for, like, the outside shot.
Yeah.
Not as much filming inside of them. James Wood's been in the news a lot. His place got on fire, but actually his house is still standing somehow. But Jeff Bridges, Mel Gibson, Anthony Hopkins, their house all burned to the ground.
Seems like old Hollywood money moved to that area whenever they...
Yeah, I mean, you're between the mountains and the ocean. Yeah. It's super wealthy. Yeah. It's a great area. And then this happens.
Well, and the weather, too, is wild down there.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's explaining to me, like you go from one side of L.A. to the other or out in the valley, like, the temperature changes are just insanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I've been to, you know, Orange County before, and, like, it's funny, you sit out there on the coast, and you're like, oh, this isn't that bad. Then you drive it inland, and you're like, Jesus, it is hot.
Yeah, it's super hot.
Let's see, Ricky Lake, her house got destroyed, but also she kind of said the Hollywood medium Tyler Henry told her that was going to happen.
Should have listened.
Yeah, right. There's also good stories, too. Snoop Dogg has turned his Inglewood clothing store into a donation center.
Nice.
Not everybody lives in these same neighborhoods, right? So there's some good stuff going on out there. I was going to say, it's from the country world. Cody Johnson, Zach Top, Riley Green, they're signing guitars to raise money for the police officers who were injured in the fire. Chuck D is like, will you still stop using Public Enemies? Burn Hollywood, burn down.
Jesus,
this isn't
Christ,
funny. You got to
Jesus.
You got to kind of like tell people that stuff and put the word out there. But obviously, super sad thing what's going on there. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is down there. That is just bad. As far as we were talking about playoff football, remember they had to move this game down because of said fires to Arizona. But you have the Rams hosting the Vikings. A good work out of the Cardinals field staff down there. They repainted the field.
Yeah.
They got the Rams stuff in there. So at least they're trying to make it like a home game.
Okay.
Thank you, Tim. We appreciate it. You're listening to the Men's Room.
Now it's time to hit the head lines. Here's Mike Hawk.
And tonight's headlines are brought to you by the fine folks at Sports on What, our top story. We go to the UK, where crime stinks. A young man in the area was approached by police, accusing him of involvement with a string of burglaries that have been happening in the area, using one key piece of evidence that was left behind. One of his victims had woken up one morning to find their shed door was left open, as well as a lawn chair that had been positioned under the window, but there was also a footprint that had been left behind on the windowsill.
Mm-hmm.
Seems our criminal stepped in something by another local. A dog that someone neglected to pick up after leaving a nice, clean, poo-covered shoe print for police to use and connect with all the other fecal remnants that were left behind at other victims' homes.
It seems to me like that their yard was just a bomb.
It had to be.
Yeah. It was their dog.
Right. Because it was fresh
yard,
in there.
And it was all over the place.
Yeah. The shoe's the one that does it for me, because anybody can have a pair of shoes. You know, if it was your shoe print that was left somewhere, like, they would have to just know Steve's got these boots and then track you down.
That is kind of weird how they found the person. It's one thing to say, look, we ran it through the lab. It's a Nike, blah, blah, blah. Great. Right. But 10 million people have that shoe.
But I suppose you could also just kind of follow tips from other people. Like, hey, I heard Tony's out there just jumping into people's homes.
Yeah,
like, all right, if we go talk to him and all of a sudden, oh, yeah, you do have a little dog stain on your shoe there.
Yeah, there's something there.
Yeah, good work there. So he did cop to it all, and he's facing a handful of charges, as is his accomplice. Accomplice. I almost said it. In other news, a story is just making headlines now that happened a few years ago. For years, a man that immigrated to Texas from the UK enjoyed the annual tradition of celebrating America's independence by the full pomp and circumstance of the day and the grand fireworks displays put on by professionals and amateurs alike. But celebration turned to horror as mortar tubes toppled down on the launch pad, launching the fireworks directly at our man, hitting him directly as he was sitting in the in a lawn chair, knocking him backwards and onto the ground. He waited for paramedics to arrive, holding his wife's hand, bearing through the burning pain in his lap, causing him to wonder, was he going to lose his equipment for the remainder of his days? He actually thought he was about to die, just because he felt the explosion. He felt it was down below. It had knocked him back. He didn't move. I don't know if he couldn't or if he was just too stunned. People descended upon him, immediately grabbed him by the hand. He's like, oh, crap, I'm in my final minutes. Why does my crotch burn so bad? Tell me it's not as bad as I think it is. Crews took him in and informed him that 8% of his body suffered third-degree burns. but his kit and caboodles are going to be just fine.
Now, he did not care about anything else they
said. That's right. I don't care. Get me the skin graft. Right. Whatever you got to do, man.
Yeah, cool.
We're all good. He was legit worried about that. He thought he was...
Wouldn't you?
Yes.
I mean, honestly, like, that is my primary... Now that I know I'm going to live, my primary concern after me is my junk.
Uh-huh.
And once they say, hey, man, your junk's fine, everything else they say is just...
And, you know, when it comes to 4th of July and fireworks issues and paramedics having to be called, we kind of just assume that people are being stupid. It doesn't sound
their hands or...
It doesn't sound like this was the case at all. You know, maybe he didn't screw the tube into the launch pad, but the thing just fell over.
But he wasn't the guy launching him, I don't believe.
Right? No, he was just sitting in a lawn chair over there.
And boom.
Zap. Away it goes. Then you got third-degree burns on your crotch. happy birthday, America. From potentially nothing downstairs to a little too much downstairs, the New York Post recently published a piece on an adult film actress that's sporting more than the average woman. She was born with something called uterus dedelphus, which to the average Joe means where she would normally have one down there, she's got two.
Vagina!
The piece goes into her life with her condition, mainly the questions and requests that she's received, as she's an OnlyFans contributor, revealing that she makes $20,000 a month income from the site, thanks to people purchasing used garments from her, bath water, toenail clippings, mouse pads that she has sat upon, the usual merch.
Jesus.
That she has sat upon.
Wanted to be very clear about that one because I don't want to get a mushmouth on that one. It's just...
But that was the specific request.
Right.
Like, you know, both of them had to make contact with this.
Correct. Bathwater, right.
Yeah.
But she said even the mouse pad, like she just plays games. She's just an online streamer on OnlyFans. She plays games and she's hot, so guys watch her and they're like, dude, I'll give you like $2,000 for your mouse pad. She's like, really? She's like, yeah, but you got to sit on it first.
Cool. Done and done,
all
my
right.
friend.
Take my mouse pad then. There was did say that she got choosy about stuff because there were dudes like, dude, I'll buy that lingerie. She's like, this is really expensive lingerie. You have to give me a brand new pair for these.
Bath water I was going to get rid of. Sure, here you go.
Yeah, exactly. It was going to go down the drain anyway.
And what do you do with the bath water?
I don't want to think about it, Steve.
And now what?
I don't want to think about it. I don't get it. It gets you guys to, you know, you're happy with it. Fine. I don't want to know. Yeah. I really, really don't want to know.
I brew my tea in it.
But just in case those stories have the bad taste in your mouth.
Thankfully, there's good news.
Down to L.A. where there's a happy happy ending amidst the wildfire. A local man was not home at the time that the fire broke out and was not able to get out and around the barricades to get back to his house to get his two dogs that were still inside. Fire crews were able to get to the man's home and safely get one of the dogs out of the house, but the other took off at the sight of strangers, leading them to report him as missing. Locals kept their eyes peeled and eventually spotted the pup taking refuge in the rubble of his neighbor's home, and he was reunited with his owner. A local NBC reporter was on the scene at the time, and the two found each other again and caught the entire scene. So if you'd like to catch that video, it's
that dude was super happy.
He thought his dog was dead, man. Yeah. It's always a good time. Men's Room Sports, the Kraken had a whiplash weekend, starting with their game in Buffalo against the Sabres, in which they came out with a statement win of 6-2 to prepare them to head into Detroit to take on the Red Wings, where they then got handed themselves and were sent home with a loss of 6-2.
Yep.
Won 6-2 and then lost 6-2. They got the day off and they make their way to Pittsburgh to take on the Penguins tomorrow afternoon. Yay. Let's go, boys. Pick it up. For tonight, you got college hoops on CBS Sports, hockey on NHL, pro basketball on NBA Network, and the final game of the NFL Wildcard Weekend is tonight between the Rams and the Vikings over on ABC and ESPN. As far as your weather, grab your jackets, gang. The cold is coming. Temperatures are dropping to 34 degrees tonight with some light winds bringing in a little bit of cloud covered in fog. That'll open up to tomorrow where we can expect a day a lot like today. Plenty of clouds and fog and a high right around 42. And that is it for your headlines. With that, Mike Hawk is out.
Ted, good news just for you. Tomorrow on Sit and Spin, we have the top 10 boy bands of all times.
Oh, awesome. Let's get it.
Lovely Joe Lane is coming up next.
Yes, indeed. It's all true. But in the meantime, well, we be all about this bitch. So until next time, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The Men's Room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.